Well, let's open God's Word this morning to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And we're going to use for our text all the way through chapter 2, verse 2, because this is all this section just hangs together. And so 1 John 1, verse 1, through chapter 2, verse 2. It is good to see each one of you here this morning, and we are thankful that you are here, and we pray that God's Spirit would bless our time together in His Word now over these next few minutes. Well, last Sunday, we saw the light that the Lord Jesus is in our lives, the light that He has brought to our lives, and today we want to talk about what it means to walk in that light. And that should be our aim as we look ahead to any portion of our life that's ahead. But as we begin a new year, it might be helpful for us just to think that in this new year, we want to walk in the light of the Lord Jesus as we live our lives. And so I want us to read this section of Scripture which talks about that. It talks about how there's a relationship, the fellowship that we have with God. And when we're in fellowship with Him, we're walking in that light. And so that is the theme of this section that we'll read. And it says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen, and bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." Let's go to the Lord again in prayer as we begin. Well, Father, we come to worship You now by looking into Your Word. And Lord, we pray that You would give us, Lord, open hearts, receptive hearts to Your Word. Lord, we pray that You would be our teacher at this time, that Your Holy Spirit would open our understanding, show us things that we need to see from Your glorious Word. And Lord, I just pray that in these next few minutes, that You would be honored, that You would be worshipped, that You would be pleased with our worship this morning. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as children of God, the Bible says we're not in darkness. We are the sons of light, it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're not of the night, we're of the light. And so what should be the characterizing feature of our lives spiritually is that we walk in the light. We have the light of the Word of God, and because of that, we have the light of the Son of God in our lives. And later on in 1 John, John says that he who has the Son has life. And so the life, Jesus says, is the light. And so in Him, the Scripture says in John chapter 1, verse 4, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." And so as followers of Jesus and believers who've gathered to worship this morning, we are here to proclaim the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. And so before we observe the Lord's Supper this morning, and we're just going to be a few minutes in the Word, but we want to divide our section of Scripture here into two parts. I want us to see, first of all, witnessing or witnesses of the light, and then secondly, walking in the light, because that's the two sections that we find here. Verses 1 through 5, first of all, witnesses of the light. It's very obvious as you look at these verses that John here is talking about Jesus, that He is the light. And he says, "We that which we have heard, we declare to you." The "we" there, I believe he's speaking about the apostles, speaking about himself, of course. But I believe it's more than himself. He's speaking about the apostles. By this time, all of the other apostles were dead. This was A.D. 85, 90, somewhere in there, maybe as late as 95, that this was written. So all of the other apostles are gone. But by this time also, much of the New Testament had been written, and those letters were being distributed to the church. And some of those letters were circular letters that made their way from church to church. And so the light of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ was being spread through the witness of the apostles, not only in their preaching to people who would gather in front of them and hear their preaching, but also in what they had written. And that was true of John. John had preached to many people. At the time he wrote this, the most Bible scholars consider the fact that he was probably in the city of Ephesus, working with the church at Ephesus there. But he's speaking here of not only himself, but others who actually experienced the Lord when he was here. And you'll notice the words that he uses here. He says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and which we have handled concerning," which our hands have handled concerning, "the word of life." John's not talking about something here that he's heard from somebody else. He's not talking about something that he read in a book somewhere, but he is giving a witness. He's giving his own witness of what he has seen with his eyes, what he's heard with his ears, first of all, what he has seen with his eyes. You notice it makes a distinction there after seeing with your eyes. It says he looked upon. The words there indicate not just a glance, not just that you, like you saw somebody just for a moment or out of the corner of your eye or just for a moment, but he's saying, "Listen, I saw him for 3 years. I was with him for this full amount of time. And I've even touched him. I've been there and touched him." John probably was there the night Jesus said, "You know, here's my hands that were pierced. Stick your hand into the nail prints and see that it's really me." And so John heard him, he saw him, he looked upon him, he touched him. And John was with Jesus from the beginning of his ministry. He saw him perform miracles. He heard his teaching and his preaching. He was there on the Mount of Transfiguration. Just think about this. He was on that Mount of Transfiguration when the veil was pulled back just for a moment and the glory of God and the Lord Jesus Christ was fully seen. That must have been some moment, something to witness and see. His feet, think of this, his feet were washed by Jesus there in that upper room as he washed the disciples' feet. He was there in the Garden of Gethsemane and he heard Jesus pray those prayers there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And just a little later when Jesus was arrested, he stood at the foot of the cross with Mary and saw Jesus suffering and dying for the sins of the world. And he witnessed the resurrection. He touched Jesus and saw him after the resurrection. And he was there the day Jesus ascended back to the Father. Listen, this was not something that was just academic to John. He is reporting here what he himself experienced. And so he gives us this testimony about Jesus in these opening verses. He says he was there from the beginning. And that reminds us that Jesus was the Creator. In his Gospel, in John chapter 1, verse 1, John said that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. He was the one who created all things. Nothing was created that wasn't created by Him. He was the Creator. Secondly, he tells us here in this verse that He is the Word of life. And by that, he's speaking about eternal life. Jesus is eternal life. If you want to know what eternal life is, look to Jesus. That's where you find eternal life. And He was with the Father, it says in verse 2, and was manifested. Twice He speaks there of Jesus being manifested, that is, being visible, becoming man and dwelling among us. And again, He heard Him. He saw Him. He looked upon Him. And He touched Him. And He says there in the end of, in the middle of verse 2, He says, it's this Jesus that we bear witness of. And we declare, verse 3, we declare Him to you. Folks, I want to tell you something that's very important. Our faith, our belief, is not based on myth. In some religions, what they have is myth that is given to teach what they consider to be spiritual truth. But our faith is rooted solidly in historical facts of the apostles. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, that our faith is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And He goes on to tell us what the purpose of His bearing witness and declaring this to us is. In the latter part of verse 3, He says that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And folks, that is something we ought not to just read over without thinking about what it's saying here. Our fellowship as believers is with the Father, but He also says, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And anyone who claims to have fellowship with the Father, but not fellowship with Jesus the Son, is a liar. There's no relationship with God the Father apart from Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said this. He said, no man comes to the Father but through me. And so first of all, when He talks about His purpose, He says, so that you may have fellowship with us. Then in verse 4, He says that your joy may be full. The only way to have full joy in this life is to be in fellowship with God. Now, a lot of people have happiness. A lot of people just go on about their merry way and they live life just however they want to live it. And if you looked at them, you might think, well, they're pretty happy right now. But there is no abiding joy. There is no real joy in this world apart from faith and apart from knowing that you're saved. Now, if you look over in chapter 5, I want to give you one other purpose. It's not in our text, but while we're talking about the purpose of His writing, He says in chapter 5, verse 13, now looking back at what He has already written in the book, He says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And just in passing, let me mention that that's really what the book of 1 John is all about. If you're looking for one book in the Bible that gives assurance of salvation, it's the book of 1 John. Really, all of the Word of God is that way. But in particular, the book of 1 John is written to give evidence of a person's salvation. And so if you're struggling with assurance, the book that I would recommend to you is the book of 1 John. Now, what is the witness, ultimately, that John is talking about here? What is he declaring here to us? Well, you find a summary of it in verse 5. So look in verse 5. And he says here, this is the message. He's talked about all of these other things. But then he says here, this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. I didn't know we were going to sing that song that we began the service with today, Holy, Holy, Holy. But I've got written in my notes here those words, Holy, Holy, Holy. The seraphim, Isaiah saw in Isaiah chapter 6. They spoke of God as the thrice holy God of Israel. Holy, holy, holy. He is holy. He's more holy. He is the most holy. It's a superlative is what it is. It's saying there's not enough ways that we can describe how holy God is. There's no darkness in Him whatsoever. And so we see the witness of the light. What is God? He is light. And His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the light of the world. He is light. One day He's going to be the light of glory in heaven. When we get to heaven, there'll be no sun. There'll be no need for sun or moon or stars. Jesus will be the light in that day. And we long for that day, don't we? But now there's six ifs that come up when we talk about walking in the light. You'll see them here. You can just almost go through verse by verse and see there's an if in just about every verse here that comes up. Six consecutive ifs that come up. And these ifs talk about the way we live our life. If you live your life a certain way. And that's really what walking, when we talk about walking in the light, walking speaks about how we live our lives. And so if you look in verse 6, the Scripture here begins to address this subject of walking in the light. And it says in verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Now that word fellowship, it's a word which we saw in verse 3, two different times in verse 3, and it comes up twice more, beginning here in verse 6. It says, but if we say we have fellowship with Him, what does that word fellowship mean? I think it's always good to just stop and talk about that when we come to that word, because it's such an important word in the New Testament. It's such an important word in New Testament life and in the church. What does it mean that we have fellowship, if we say that we have fellowship with Him? Well, the word is sometimes translated communion. We're about to observe what we call communion. And really, the same Greek word, koinonia, that's a word that, you know, there's a few Greek words that most people know. I think agape is a word which most believers know, but also the word koinonia, which means fellowship or communion. And it talks about being united with someone in a commonality. There's a common sharing of life. A common life together. And it's ultimately speaking about a relationship that has been established where two people are in fellowship. Now, out in the world, there can be fellowship among people over something that's very common, something that is common among them, but it's not anything spiritual about it. You know, there's all kinds of clubs you can join. Yesterday, I suppose, over in New Orleans, Jim, you weren't the only one there cheering for the University of Alabama, I don't guess. So, you know, people gather together and there's a type of fellowship. A lot of times in church life, we think about fellowship as socializing with one another in the fellowship hall. We usually have food that comes into the picture as we think about fellowship. We even call it our fellowship meals, and it can be a time of true fellowship. But the idea of this word fellowship is that the thing that we have in common, and what makes this word so beautiful spiritually, is that it speaks about our common relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that because of His shed blood, we are in fellowship together. And I want to tell you, that surpasses anything the world can know anything about. The world has all kinds of socializing and sort of type of fellowship, but nothing compared to what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says there, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, but walk in darkness, it says we lie. We say that we're walking in the light. We say that we're walking in fellowship with Him, but in reality, we're walking in darkness. Then we lie. We're living a hypocritical life. And it says we do not practice. That just means to live out. We do not live out the truth. We know the truth, but we're not living out the truth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, the Scripture says, what communion has light with darkness? But then we come to verse 7 here in our text, and there's a great contrast. It says, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. Folks, that's what we come to celebrate this morning in the Lord's Supper. As we observe the Lord's Supper, we're celebrating the fact that our sins have been forgiven by the precious blood, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have fellowship with one another. And let's don't skip over that part of it. You know, one of the great blessings of God in our lives is that we not only have fellowship with God through His Son Jesus Christ, but because we are in fellowship with Him, that places us in fellowship with one another. I was reading this past week a little section out of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Some of you have heard of Bonhoeffer. He was a pastor in Germany back during the time of Hitler, and a tremendous life story that he has. He was eventually hung because of his stand for the Lord and for the Jews. He stood up for them during that time. But prior to that time, he had written a book called Life Together. And I'd like you to just listen to what Bonhoeffer said about our lives together as believers, the fellowship that we have. And this will bless you. Just hear this. He says, "The presence of other Christians is a source of incomparable joy and strength to the believer, a physical sign of the gracious presence of the triune God. They receive and meet each other as one meets the Lord in reverence, humility, and joy. How inexhaustible are the riches that open for those who by God's will are privileged to live in the daily fellowship of life with other Christians. Therefore, let him who until now has had the privilege of living a common Christian life with other Christians praise God's grace from the bottom of his heart and thank God on his knees and declare, 'It is grace, it is nothing but grace, that we are allowed to live in a community with Christian brethren.'" Wouldn't you hate to be cut off from other believers? You know, I remember a couple of years ago when we were going through the height of the pandemic, there was, I think, 6 or 7 Sundays where we just didn't meet. Did that make an impact on you during that time? I mean, we knew that we were missing something. We were missing the joy and the glory of being together in Christ. But it's saying here that we have fellowship with one another, but then the greater thing is this: the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, and the words there in the Greek speak of it in these terms, goes on cleansing us from all sin. There's no end to it. Now, verses 8 through 10, you actually have here a little sandwich of sorts. Verses 8 and 10 speak about someone who's really not a believer. But verse 9, right in the middle of that, speaks about someone who is a believer and what will be characteristic in their life. And here John begins to get very practical about what it means to walk out daily, walking in the light. An unbeliever might say that he has no sin, verse 8. And if a person says that, John says, we deceive ourselves. That person is being deceived and the truth is not in him. Person who says, "I don't have any sin," that person is in darkness, complete darkness, and they're in deception. They're deceived. And down in verse 10, he says, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." And so here you have the picture of someone who is so self-deceived and someone who is so out of touch with the truth of God that he believes he has no sin. Well, folks, the entryway into the Christian life is to come to that place where you understand I am a sinner and I need a Savior, Jesus Christ. But then right in the middle of that, in verse 9, you really have the, if we could call it, the heart of this sandwich, or the very core of what he's talking about here, is something that will be a part of a believer's life. Someone who is truly a believer is someone who will do this. If we confess our sins, and again, the words there talk about something that is an ongoing part of their life. If we are continually confessing our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And again, the tense is to go on cleansing us from all unrighteousness. What a glorious verse that is. If we go on confessing our sins, notice it's plural there. It's not talking about we come before God and just say, God, I'm a sinner, please forgive me. No, it's talking about as God identifies particular sins in our life, we on a regular basis are confessing those sins. As He calls it to our attention, we daily and even moment by moment keep short accounts with God and confess those sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, John ends this section by making it clear, because somebody might get the misunderstanding by reading all that we've read here, that all you have to do is just sin, and when you sin, just confess it, and God forgives it, and it's no big deal. But folks, sin is a big deal. Sin is such a big deal that God had to send His Son into this world to die a horrible death in our place in order for our sins to be forgiven. Don't ever forget that. That is what is in view here. And he starts out in chapter 2 just to make it clear that you can't minimize sin. He says, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin." He says, but here's the glory of it. If anyone sins, we have an advocate, someone who speaks to the Father on our behalf. We have an advocate with the Father, and that advocate is Jesus Christ, the righteous. And that verse 2 says that He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. And that word propitiation is a word which sometimes it seems to be a big Bible word. But what it's just simply talking about there is that when Jesus died, He was placating the wrath of God that would have been directed at us because of our sin. He died in our place. He propitiated or placated God's holy wrath toward sin. And it says He did it not just for one type of people, not just for one kind of person, not just for the rich or not just for the poor, not just for any ethnic group, but He did it for the sins of the whole world. He did it for all people of all kinds. So let me summarize all of this just very briefly. This is how we walk in the light. If you want to walk in the light, this is how it's done, very practically. We take sin seriously when it comes into our lives and when God calls it to our attention. We take sins seriously, individual sins. And when we become aware of the sins in our lives, we confess those sins to God daily and immediately. You know, if you think back in your own life, those of you who know the Lord, if there's ever been a time where you have drifted away from the Lord, let me do a little poll here. I don't think it would hurt anybody's feelings here. I'll be the first to raise my hand. Have any of you ever had a time in your life where you just drifted from the Lord? There was times where you drifted away from the Lord. Well, during those times, one of the features of your life was that sin, you were harboring sin, you were keeping your sin, you were not confessing your sin, you're holding on to it, you're not turning from it. And what begins to happen over a period of days, it may not seem like so much at first, but over a period of days, you begin to drift and you get further and further away from the Lord. And you can reach a point to where some Christians, I believe real, genuine, born-again Christians, they get so far away from the Lord that you couldn't tell a difference between their life. They're walking in darkness just like a lost person is. The only difference is they're just one prayer away from coming back to the Lord, confessing their sins, getting right with Him, and trusting in Him. And if we're continually confessing our sins, the Scripture says here, the blood of Jesus Christ is continually cleansing us from all sins. And that's why we rejoice. And that's why this is a time of celebration as we come to the Lord's table. We rejoice as we proclaim the Lord's graciousness to us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to ask you to bow your head for just a moment before we observe the Lord's Supper. And one of the things that it's always important to do, and the Bible tells us this in 1 Corinthians, we ought never to come to the Lord's table with unconfessed and unrepented of sin in our lives. In other words, if we're taking sin lightly, then we shouldn't come to the Lord's table. We shouldn't observe the Lord's Supper. And so I always like to just give a moment of time for the believers who've gathered and who are going to participate in the Lord's Supper to just deal with the Lord for just a moment. There may be something that happened last night, maybe a cross word between husband and wife. There may have been some thought of sinfulness that you harbored in your mind, in your heart, that you need to get right with God about. There may be something that happened this past week that you've not yet confessed to the Lord. We just want to allow time for the Holy Spirit to remind us of that so that we can confess those sins and come to His table as much as we know that we're able, come to the Lord's table with a clean slate before the Lord. So I'm going to ask Catherine to come and play for just a moment. And let's just go before the Lord and prepare our hearts to observe the supper.